Today, we're very lucky to be able to chat with the amazing American country star. That is Jessica Lynn. She was born in Brooklyn, New York. She learned piano in middle school, as well as teaching herself drums and guitar in high school. She's pursued her dream, worked very, very hard, and she's now entertaining countless people across the globe with her unique country style. And it is, of course, very, very nice to talk to you. It's been a long time coming. Welcome, Jessica Lynn. Thank you for talking to Nashville Worldwide.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, obviously, as with many artists, concerts, festivals, anything live other than in your own home has been curtailed for the last 2 years, basically. Now, I know the USA has opened up a little bit quicker than maybe Europe has. How has that hit you? How much of an effect has that had on your releases, your program of events for the last 2 years?
It had a massive impact. We lost not just this year, but last year too, and 100 city, 14 country world tour that was still being added to. So it was an extremely hard hit, not just career-wise and emotionally, but financially, I mean, in every which way possible. And it's funny though, you know, in the moment you think, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. How am I ever going to go forward? And believe me, I did spend like, you know, a month or so with that fear. And I still have that fear sometimes because it's not back to what it was. But a lot of really incredible things also came out of the pandemic for me. I was able to complete my first full-length record, which will come out next year. I turned to live streaming, which allowed me to interact and be with my fans in a way that I never have before. And I wound up being a top 40 live streamer of the year by Polestar, which for me was such a huge accomplishment because it just blew my mind that like 60 to 100,000 people a week were just watching me sit here in my living room and play my guitar. Like, you know, it was just one of the craziest things of my career. And to accomplish something like that in the face of adversity was something I'm really, really proud of. Pretty much just every day tried to wake up and turn the lemons into lemonade in it. And that mentality really worked out for me.
That is a massive amount of people watching. And I have to say, with the amount of live streams that were going on, because everybody was doing live streams, that it's even more amazing that you've hit those numbers, considering the choice that everybody had every single day. That's stunning.
Thank you so much. You know, I learned so much from doing that. Actually, my next release, which I'm going to announce this Friday, I'll give you a sneak peek, is an acoustic piano EP and single, reimagined versions of some of my most popular songs. And that was birthed out of the pandemic every week, where I was forced to be creative and sit down and be like, how can I make this song sound interesting? You know, just sitting here, just me. And I grew so much during this time. I became such a better player, such a better performer, having to just sit with no audience interaction and make people interested, a better singer from pushing myself in ways I had never done before. And so I also am very grateful. It sounds weird to say, but I do think with everything in life, your mentality is everything.
I mean, obviously, I know what it's like performing to no one, because obviously us DJs, that's what we do. Every day we perform to no one. We perform to a screen, which is exactly what you are doing. And I know it's a very difficult thing to do. And it takes a while to get your head round, because you don't know how you're being received, because there's no feedback. And I can understand that being quite a thing to get used to, but I can understand how that must help you in your live performances massively.
It's true. It's so funny because we've literally performed around the world to like, I'm saying in front of like 80,000 people before. And I remember my first live stream in the pandemic, my hands were shaking and I was laughing. I'm like, how stupid is this? Like, you know, this is what you do. And you're sitting here being afraid of sitting in your living room and playing, but it was just such a different thing. And you were so exposed. I think that's what scared me. You know, when you're on stage, there's audience noise. You make a little mistake. It's like, whatever, you keep on rolling. Was it me? Maybe. Was it the guitarist? Maybe. No one really knows. And it's all part of the show. But when it is dead silent and you're sitting there and it's just you and your guitar, you and your piano, and you hit a clunker, it sounds like it lasts for 5 years, you know.
The thing is, it sounds like it lasts for 5 years to you, but to your audience, they probably, most of them probably don't even notice it. And the ones that do notice it have forgotten about it before they even noticed it.
It's so true.
you'll be much, much more critical of yourself than your audiences, I guarantee it.
It's so true. And that really freaked me out in the beginning. And then you realize it's all fun. And it took me a few streams to kind of get the hang of this. But you know what? You make a mistake, you sit there and you laugh and you talk about it because you're not in the middle of a live show. You have the ability to sit there and be like, oh, that was funny, guys. All right, let's try something else, you know? And that's kind of been something I've really enjoyed about doing these streams. And I actually started the last several months where 5 minutes before the stream would start, I would pull up random chords online, a song. I would kind of sit on it for a second. Like, what song does my heart tell me to sing for everybody today? I'd be like, oh, Lean On Me. Okay, pull up the chords, not rehearse it, and just try it. And it's so funny, just kind of feel my growth in that way from going to being so nervous to like, let's just do stuff and have fun.
I guess that helps you expand your style as well, because I would imagine you get not stuck in a rut, but you have a comfortable zone. And by doing that, that must have taken you outside of that comfortable zone a little bit.
It did. And I think what helped me get there, which again was kind of the reason for this reimagined single and EP that's coming, is every week. So I was doing the Facebook live streams and Instagram stuff. And I was like, you know what? I really want to try something different. So I decided to do piano bar style ticketed live streams. I priced them extremely, like ridiculously low, $5 a ticket just to get the link and come in and watch. And you could ask me to sing and try anything. I have my iPad. We have one this afternoon, actually. We've been doing them over a year now. And it's just fun. And every week, someone's like, do Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. The next song is do, I don't know, In the Still of the Night. Next song is sing Christina Aguilera, Stevie Wonder, Maroon 5. You know, and it pushed me in ways that I've never been pushed before. As a performer, as a singer, as a player, I got so much better at my instruments. My vocal range expanded in a crazy way this last year from being pushed like that. And I have all my fans and friends to thank for that. They made me much better. And then that's how the Reimagined EP was born. It was out of that. We tried some really cool things. People said, you know, try your single Run To as a really slow with different chords type of ballad. And I was like, actually, you know, this is pretty cool. And so I'm really, really excited to show this new side of myself to everybody.
It's nice that something very positive came out of a very negative situation. A lot of artists are saying that the lockdown had a very negative effect on them financially, clearly, and a lot of people emotionally, because they weren't outperforming, they were locked in. But it's nice to hear someone say that they've had such a positive thing come out of it and that they've learned so much in that time that has now given them the ability to produce this new record, Reimagined, you know, and that's a great, great thing. It's nice to hear good things come out of this situation because you don't hear them too often.
Thanks. I'm a very positive person, and I encourage any artist that really feels like you only experience something night. And trust me, we experienced, it was hard for everybody. And I mean, everything you know is just ripped away from you. You don't know how to make money. You don't know what to do every day when you wake up. You're used to this. And it's funny. I don't think anyone truly understands the impact this had on artists. I said to my friend who works in a regular office, since he was asking, like, what was this like? I said, and he's been there the last, 20 years. I said, imagine tomorrow you wake up and you try to drive to work and do your morning commute and you show up and there's just no building. How do you feel? And he was like, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I was like, that's the best way I can describe it. You wake up and you're ready to go to work and do what you do every day. And it's just not there. And I'm a big believer that life is what you make it. And that's why I made a very clear cut decision in the beginning of this thing to make it something great, to take the bad situation and do something really positive with it. And make a difference. I did a lot for charity this past year. Giving back made me feel really good. And I really believe that's how I got through this, was just having a very, very positive mindset. And I urge anyone that really feels like you can't find the silver lining in this to really dig deep, because it's there, whether it's you got to spend more time with your family that you haven't gotten to see, that you got to write more than you would have if you're an artist, that you've gotten to make new friends on the internet, or even if you gained 10 more fans than you had before because you were live streaming a lot. That's all a win.
Brilliant. Well, obviously things are moving forward. Things are opening up a bit more. Now, I know that you came over to the UK for Tennessee Fields and unfortunately had to pull out of that because of COVID concerns in your camp. Hopefully everyone's okay. That's the most important thing, that everyone's okay.
Yes, that was the most frustrating part of it, was that everyone was okay.
Oh, that's very upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, things happen. We all knew we took a risk coming. It was a risk we were willing to take. We knew there were a lot of restrictions, a lot of testing. Tests aren't always 100% accurate. And again, with you have to follow the rules. And if something doesn't go the way that you want it to go, there's honestly really nothing you could do about it, which really stinks. But again,
well, on the plus side, you are back in the UK in 2022, and you've got 13 gigs in the UK next year. That's quite an extensive tour of the UK. I know that you've also got other gigs all over Europe, and they are literally all over Europe. I was quite surprised to see places like Latvia on the list. That's not somewhere that you would normally expect to be played. So it's nice that you're coming over to do a full European tour, and it's great that you're going to be here for 13 dates in the UK.
I love the UK.
Do you see your time on stage now? Do you see the audiences being more excited, more up for it? Do they have more energy than they did pre-lockdown?
Well, I've only done a few gigs. Things are still moving very slow in that front. But I think I've seen a mix. I've seen people that are so, so, so excited. And then I've seen people that are hesitant still. We did one gig where even here in New York, I mean, you don't have to stand 6 feet apart really anymore. People were very separated. And I was used to everybody being real close up in front of the stage and dancing and interacting with each other. People seemed hesitant. And then we did one the next weekend where everyone was just down to party, you know? So I think at this point, with anything else with COVID, it's a personal choice. And I think people are just kind of feeling their own way.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that people are actually getting out and coming to the gigs, though. I mean, because obviously that must have been a fear, that you're going to do these gigs and people just aren't going to turn up.
Definitely. I mean, that's always a fear. That's always been a fear of mine since I started singing. So it was nothing new, really. But yes, it does add another layer to it, I guess you could say. And again, I knew what to expect. I didn't go in very naive, like, oh, this is going to be just like it was, because I knew it wasn't going to be.
Okay, so your latest single, Roadhouse, it was played at Tennessee Fields. It was absolutely brilliant. It has a line dance to it. We all know that. We'll talk about that in a second. But from what I can gauge from the song, it's all about taking a normal sleepy type of bar and turning it into a place that's absolutely jumping and buzzing. Is that the general gist of the song? Am I right there?
Yeah, it is. And the story behind the song is actually kind of cool. Before I became Jessica Lynn, the country singer, I made a living working in a wedding band. And we played every single weekend, all different types of functions, events, from yacht club things to bar mitzvahs to weddings to regular clubs and everything in between. And we used to play this one little dive bar that whenever we would play, it would just go crazy. People dancing on the bar, people pretty much exactly what Roadhouse describes. And one day I was blow drying my hair, getting ready for the gig that night. This was years ago. And I thought about the atmosphere that I was about to go into, and Roadhouse wrote itself in literally under 15 minutes. By the time I was done blow drying, I had written the entire song. And it's been a fan favorite ever since then, which is why I decided to release it now, after how good my fans have been to me throughout this whole pandemic.
Now, okay, so as I said earlier, it does have a line dance to it. I've seen the YouTube videos on how to do it. not for me. I've got two left feet. And I think my left feet are on my arms instead of my legs. So I would literally just fall over. It would be, you know, I'd just be a mess on the floor. I guarantee it. But I did see it at Tennessee Fields and it was absolutely brilliant to see all those people doing it in unison, you know, up on a big screen as well. It looked absolutely brilliant. But who designed the dance? Was that you who designed it? Or do you have a choreographer who designed it?
It was me that choreographed it. I took dance my whole life. I always loved dance. And the line dance was born because we wanted to do a music video for the release, but obviously with the state of the world now is not the best time to be shoving hundreds of people into a rowdy bar scene for a music video. So we thought what could be just as cool that would be safe for everybody, give people something to do. Why don't we do a line dance? It has the perfect beat for it. So I had a really good time choreographing it and going to the dance studio to film it. And then it really touched my heart to see all those people at Tennessee Fields doing it.
It was a sight to see. I mean, it was a little bit muddy as well. So I'm actually really surprised that everyone remained upright. And I'd also had a few drinks by then as well. So it's even more surprising everyone was upright. But it was great fun. And it gave us obviously the feeling that you were actually there with us, even though you couldn't be, which was absolutely lovely.
Thank you.
Now, going forward, what's happening for Jessica? What are your plans? Obviously, we know you've got the tour in 2022. You've got a couple of gigs this year in America. You've got your album coming out. Is there any other surprises for us?
The tour is expanding a lot already for next year. So even though this year was light for us and last year was non-existent, next year is going to be jam-packed with shows all over the world. We're expanding even outside of Europe, which I'm really excited about. We have the album coming next year. We have a new single that is coming out August 13th. I'm announcing it Friday, an EP and mini concert that will come after that. That'll be released digitally. Then we have more singles coming and content. A lot of cool partnerships that I've been working on. I've been very, very, very busy.
It sounds like you're going to appreciate the previous year and a half, 2 years when you get back out on the road, because it sounds like it's going to be incredibly busy.
I think so.
Okay, so finally, if you could pick one country song for Jessica, one song that I could play on a radio for you, what would it be? I know it's a really tough one.
It's not for me, actually. It would be Austin by Blake Shelton. That is one of the first, that's really the first country song that made me really, really fall in love with wanting to write country music because of the story.
Well, that is brilliant. That will be played on Nashville Worldwide for you with this interview. Thank you very much, Jessica. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. It's been a long time coming. I hope we talk again very soon in the future. And I will definitely catch up with you when you're over here in the UK next year. Jessica Lynn, thank you very much for talking to Nashville Worldwide.
Thank you so much. I had such a good time.